Welcome back to the dark. Yes, indeed, it is time for yet another episode of A Scott in the Dark. My name is Scott Swenson, and on this episode, we're going to be talking about coming together. Now, I know some of you with a dirty mind just started to giggle, but that's not what I mean. If I was willing to pay BMI ASCAP, I would go ahead and play a Beatles song. Although, I don't know how appropriate that would be, because that's sort of about a funeral. Wow, this is a really strange beginning to the show. But I'm going to stick with it. You know me, I don't edit. Well, I do, but not often. Perhaps not often enough. Anyway, this is all about working together in this as we approach the Halloween season. Now, this is just to give you some sort of reference. This is recorded in early September, the very first week of September in 2020. So if you're listening to this later, it may not make as much sense, but at least it makes sense to me now. So that's why I'm recording it now. Funny how that works. I mean, let's be honest. At this point in time, this Halloween season 2020 looks like it's going to be kind of tough. We've heard multiple haunts decide that they're not opening. Everything from theme park haunts to pretty major players in the haunt industry for independent haunts as well. We've also seen a ton of upstart or newer haunts decide they're going to throw their hat in the ring and do things like drive-up, drive-through, drive-in haunts, which there's nothing at all wrong with that. I'm curious to see how that plays out. In fact, I think I even suggested it at one point in time, somebody trying it on a previous show. So I'm glad people are actually doing it. I thought it was a crazy idea at the time, and it may still be a crazy idea, or it may be brilliant. And these people are finding ways to make it happen. So I think that's cool. And they're popping up all over the place. On both coasts, I've heard of one in New York, one in Florida, one in California, and I'm sure there are plenty more all around the country. This is something that actually, I think, originally started in Japan. I'm sure somebody will correct me, because you know I don't really keep tabs on this stuff. But I think it started, the idea of a drive-in, drive-through thing started in Japan. But so again, it's a messed up time, and I know a lot of people are worried and scared and concerned. You know, I've heard several haunt owners get very frustrated with me because they think I'm far too optimistic. I've been told you don't have to worry about somebody's paycheck, which is true. I don't. I am not a haunt owner. I have to worry about my paycheck, because if haunts don't open, I don't have a gig, or I lose a large amount of my income, because I'm a consultant. And so I think we're all a little bit concerned. However, I will say that I am busier this year with haunted attractions, and will be even busier next year based on the contracts I'm signing. So the work is out there. This show is focused on how can we get that work. And I'm going to throw an idea out there that I know people are going to disagree with, but you know what? That's been the story of my career, whether it's on podcasts or in the world of business. I've been wrong more times than I've been right. But the truth of the matter is, this is something that is working for me, so I'm going to share it, and hopefully it will work for you. In these difficult times, we have to stop thinking of creating win-lose scenarios. We have to create win-win scenarios. And I know somebody's just shaking their head and probably getting ready to turn this off because they don't want to listen to that garbage and, you know, this, you know, hippie, Pollyanna, yeah, what the heck is he talking about? No, the truth of the matter is, it's working. I mean, it's just basic math, okay? There are fewer gigs out there because, as I just said, events are closing. So we have to find a way to help our industry so that we can all get a piece of the pie. Don't think about, I'm going to get this gig so you don't. Think about it as, how do we get this gig? And again, there's so much animosity right now in the world, because again, people are scared. People have been divided because of not having money, not having food, not having a way to raise their kids. And if you are raising kids, my heart goes out to you, because in many places, they're home all the time and you're having to answer all their school questions, which I do not envy. My heart goes out to you. But I think that when it comes to the haunt industry, I think what we really have to do is to start looking at new ways to create win-win scenarios. We all have to come together and work together as an industry and get through this, because things, who knows what the future's going to be? We're all going to assume that it's either going to get better or at the very least different, and we can all adapt to it. But that's what this show is all about, is how we, as members of the haunted attraction industry, can work together. Now, I'm going to start by talking about some ideas with haunters. These are people who are either owners or operators of haunted attractions. Now is the time, if you are planning to open your haunted attraction, get the biggest bang for your buck by finding ways to work with other haunted attractions or similar industries. Let me tell you what I mean. Now is the time more than ever to band together and find ways to split your marketing costs. You might as well split your marketing costs with another local haunted attraction, and that way people know, oh, there are haunts that are open. There are haunts that are doing something this season. I can't tell you how many times I've seen online in many of the social media groups people asking, hey, are any haunts open? And are any haunts open in my area? And there are quite a few out there. So find ways so that you can all in your area work together. I've suggested it before. Now is the perfect year to do a punch card. If you've got five haunts in the area and each of them are charging $20 a head to get in. I'm doing this only because of easy math. Each of you are charging $20 a head to get in. Sell a punch card that gets you into all five for $80, and then you split that. It's a way to encourage people to do more than one haunt. It's a way to reach an audience that you may not have before. And it's also a great way for you to get the most out of your marketing dollars, because you get to share it with other haunts. Don't think that your other haunts are 100% competition. I mean, let's be honest. Haunters, people who enjoy the haunt industry, go to every haunted attraction they can. That's why some of the most popular events that we go to or have gone to in the past throughout the course of the year are haunt tours, where you go from one haunted attraction to the next, to the next, to the next. So find ways to make that easier for people. Find ways to co-market and perhaps even do a revenue split. Because I promise you, if people buy that card, that five punch card, they're not going to use all of them anyway. I can almost promise you that. So you're going to make a little bit of money back, but you just split whatever it is that you sell and you go from there. Another possibility is to share assets. This is the time of year, and I know there are going to be people who just argue up one side and down the other about this, but now this is the time of year where you go to the other haunted attraction that's open in your area and say, hey, what aren't you using this year? Because I've got 15 Buc-ee's in the back that are just sitting there not doing anything this season. I will lend them to you if you let me borrow your circus facade. I don't know. I'm making this stuff up. But share your assets. Work with, not against, your supposed competition. And let's say, for example, if this year you've decided, I can't open my haunt, I just can't make it work financially, well, then reach your hand out to another haunted attraction. It'll do a couple of things. Number one, it will, again, get you involved, get something in your pocket, get some sort of, get your haunt on. I almost said that really filthy. It will give you, I must be in a real mood tonight. Anyway, it will give you an opportunity to celebrate the Halloween season, to be part of a haunted attraction, even though it may not be yours. And you'll be building new bridges so that next season, when things change, you may find that instead of one small haunt, you're a combined consortium of haunts, which is only going to benefit everybody. So, again, I know it sounds crazy, but find ways to band together, especially this season. The other thing that I think is important is, even if you decide, okay, I don't really feel like working with another haunted attraction, I get it. You have to make all those choices for yourself. You have to make every single one of those choices on your own. But at the very least, don't try to tear down other haunted attractions that are doing something. don't tear down people who are trying. You know, just because you can't open your haunt or your favorite haunt isn't opening doesn't mean that you should tear down the one that is. Okay? If you choose not to go to that haunt for whatever reason, that's up to you. But this is not the season to rip down, to rip to shreds another haunted attraction. Because, and I will say, I feel a little guilty in this regard, because I think I've probably done that quite subtly, but to a certain degree, because, you know, everyone's talking about, well, if I don't think they're safe, then I need to say something. I need to tear them down. Well, safety means something different to everyone. I think what we should really do is, instead of trying to tear them down, we just make certain that what they're saying they're doing, they're doing. You know, for some haunters, putting out hand sanitizer and calling it a day is great. As long as they communicate that to their audience, then they're doing their due diligence. You know, they're saying, we're not cleaning extra. We're not making you wear a face mask. We're just putting on hand sanitizer. And the guests can make their own choices. You know, we all are individuals, and we can make those kinds of choices. Unless, of course, there's a mandate in your area. Then you can't. But anyway, let's just not try to tear each other down. Let's try to find those things that we can say that are positive about one another, about each other's organization, and let the dissing go for another season, because this is just not the time to do it. I briefly touched on it earlier. I think it is essential to, if you are opening this season, publicize what you are doing to make your haunt safe. And it's not just me. There's haunt owners all over the country who are saying the exact same thing. Be clear cut, be upfront, say, here's what we're doing. And if you're not going to do anything, then say, we're not going to do anything. Be proud of it. There are going to be people who agree with you. There are going to be people who don't. You just have to take responsibility for yourself. Now, I'll tell you, even though I'm not a haunt owner, every single haunted attraction that I am working with this season, and there are four, are working on different ways to keep things safe, sanitary, and socially distanced. So that's my own opinion, but that's not going to be everyone's. So if you disagree, that's fine, but let's not tear each other down. And I promise I will not do it if you promise you will not do it, okay? I think that when it comes to, and I'm not saying that we all have to agree. I'm not saying we all have to agree. What I'm saying is, let's talk about the issues, not try to dismantle or dismember the person. And normally I'm all about dismemberment because it's a haunted attraction and that's just extra props. But let's not attack the person. Let's discuss the ideas. I have many friends who have very different points of view on how haunted attractions should run, on how everything from haunted attractions to politics to choice of shirt color. But the issue is not these are bad people. The issue is I don't see things the same way they do. But let's make that extra effort this season to discuss the ideas and the concerns versus trying to discredit the people. And I have been accused of that, and I have also had that happen to me, people who try to discredit me because I don't own a haunt. And I say that right up front. I say that right up front. This is not the season to do that. You know, and I'm not, again, not trying to make us all hold hands. I'm trying to make it so that our industry can survive. And we need to contribute to the solution, not to continue to tear apart the problem. Now, let's assume, because I know I have a lot of listeners who are not haunted attraction owners, but who are, like myself, providers or consultants. You know, I know that there are a lot of folks out there who make a lot of money, usually, off the haunted attraction industry. So what can we do? What can we do to help those folks? And I wish I had a solid answer that was going to work for everyone. I think the most important thing to start off with is to recognize there is work out there. There's less, but there is work out there. And so let's just assume that that is indeed the case. There is work out there. Perhaps not, well, clearly not as much as there used to be. But with that assumption, I think the first thing we need to do, and this is where I go into, this is what has worked for me. It is time for us to work with those people who offer similar things to what we offer so that we can get the job. I mean, this is where the math comes in. If there are fewer jobs and the same number of consultants are outside contractors, then it only makes sense that the outside contractors can either be bullish and try to get everything and leave the other guy out in the cold, or they can get slightly less but work together. I've done this. I'm doing a lot of subcontracting work with larger production houses right now, and that is why, or one of the reasons why, I am so very busy this season, and why I'm going to be even busier next season. So find ways to work together. You know, we all know each other. It's stupid to think, well, gosh, I don't know anybody else in the industry. Well, gathered around the bar at Transworld, I would beg to differ. I would think that you know everybody in the industry. And I think it's absolutely essential right now for us to reach out to each other and say, hey, what if we went together to go to XYZ, haunt, theme park, zoo, whatever, and figure out how we can work together with them? Now, it might be too late for that. I'll admit, it might be too late for that. But I think that it's certainly something, a mentality that we have to keep in mind. Stop working in competition when you don't necessarily have to. You know, if we're in a scenario where there's, where we really have to, where there's an abundance of work, then yeah, we're going to compete. We're going to compete for that work. But there isn't a ton of work, and I'd rather get paid something than nothing. That's just the way I like to work. You may feel differently. You may feel as though now's the time to come in for the kill and put that other consultant out of business. Yeah, you can do that. Not particularly strong for the industry, but if that's your mentality, you can certainly do that. I've found the opposite to be very beneficial and why I'm quite busy. I also think it's important to be realistic and reevaluate what you are worth. I've had a lot of haunt actors, you know, traveling haunt actors, ask, gosh, you know, what can I do now? Because A, I can't travel, and B, I don't want any haunters, you know, they don't want new external haunters to come in if there's a risk of spreading any sort of disease. So therefore, I think it's important that we all reevaluate what is our worth. You know, maybe those traveling haunt actors need to sit down and say, tell you what, haunt XYZ just outside of Chicago, or haunt ABC just outside of Portland, or whatever. What if I become your social media spokes ghoul and you pay me to do that? I never once travel to where you are. Start peddling yourself differently. Reevaluate what you are worth. And I promise you, you probably will not make as much, but it's better to make something than nothing. And quite honestly, when there are fewer and fewer jobs, there's a glut. There are too many of us who do what we do in the haunt industry and not enough jobs for them. So that's going to drive our value down. I'm not saying that we're not valuable. What I'm saying is we have to be realistic. What we were worth in January of this year and what we are worth now is different. Through no fault of our own, but it's just because of the market. And it's also because people are concerned. You know, I said at the beginning, people are scared. And businesses are scared. In fact, entertainment businesses are scared that people are scared. And they won't come. So therefore, they're being very cautious. And when businesses become cautious, they become frugal. They don't want to spend all of their money up front. Or even on the back end, for that matter. They just don't want to spend money. And I don't blame them. You know, if they don't feel as though they can earn their revenue back, they're either going to simply not open. You know, sometimes the best way to break even is to not open. I mean, you don't spend any money on it and you don't open. And I fully respect the haunts that have made that choice. Other folks are looking at it going, well, gosh, if there are fewer haunts out there, then maybe I have a shot. But for those of us who are the support team for the haunt owners and for the haunted attraction theme parks and zoos, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, we have to recognize that because they are more cautious, we have to get our foot in the door or continue our relationship, depending on what the situation is, by being cost effective. Now, I am not saying give your services away. What I am saying is come in and have that discussion and say, you know what? I am a costumer. I am out of work. And I know you guys need costumes. I will give you a 25% discount or a 30% discount of what I normally charge. And you're probably thinking, well, I don't want to give that discount. Okay, but then you may not work this season. And again, your choice. You can decide. I'm going to take this season off. I know some people who've made that decision. They're like, no, I'm going to just ride this out and see what happens. But if you want to work, you have to reevaluate what you're worth, because I promise you that those people who hire you have done just that. So let's assume that you're one of the haunts that is staying open, okay? Say you're one of the haunts that has decided, okay, we've gone into, you know, we've done all the things that we're supposed to do according to whatever data you're listening to and whatever recommendations you're following and whatever mandates you have locally. We're doing all that. What can you guys do who are going to be open to help the industry? Well, first off, reach out to those who aren't opening this year. You know, it's not just the responsibility of the person who's decided, you know what, I just can't make it work this year. Well, these are excellent resources. These are super smart people in the haunt industry. And it'd be foolish of you, if you do decide to open, not to reach out to them for their help. And of course, try to see if you can compensate them, but give them a hand. You know, I know people want to be the only haunt in town, but I'm going to tell you right now, I've been doing haunted attraction. I've been in the attractions industry and specifically focused on haunted attractions for over 20 plus years now. And I've never been to a town that only has one haunt. So whether you're going to put your biggest competition out of business, or you're going to help him this season so that him or her this season, so that next year when they come back and open again, they're still around, you're helping the overall market. The best example of this was back when I was doing Hollow Scream. Sorry, I sound like a broken record, but I love the fact that Hollow Scream and Halloween Horror Nights were both open, because a whole bunch of people who came to our event went to their event and vice versa. And it kept Halloween on top of mind. It kept Halloween exciting. And it gave people more than just one thing to do on Halloween or around Halloween. So you as a haunt owner, if you're open, reach out to those folks who've decided not to open and see if they have some extra staff. See if they have brain power, which I seem to have lost momentarily there. See if they have some extra brain power that you can pull upon. Reach out to those people who are looking for work, because there are a lot of people out there. I am going to share my own personal opinion here. Stay safe. Now, that, like I said, that means something different to everybody. But please stay safe. Enough said. Adjust your operation as needed. The nice thing about being an independent haunt owner is you can adjust significantly more quickly than, say, a Halloween Horror Nights or one of the larger theme park events. First off, I would strongly, strongly, strongly recommend reservation or time ticketing. Not just as a way to physically distance people, but more of a way to know who's coming. Because if you have to keep your haunt open because you say you're going to be open till 10 and people stop coming at 8, there's 2 hours of operational costs that you don't need to spend. If you do time ticketing, you know that they're only coming until 8. So you can let your entire cast go at 8:30, close your doors and say bye-bye. So time ticketing will actually help you right size your operational hours based on the number of reservations or tickets that you sell. And as you move forward, adapt your operation based on data, based on whatever data you think is important. Again, I have to be careful here, because there are certain people who believe certain groups of information and other people who don't. So I'm not even going to get into that. I'm going to let you decide. But make sure that you're not just randomly saying, well, I think I will. No, make changes based on the information that you have. And if if you are looking at data, double check it, find something to corroborate it, because there's a lot of wild accusations floating around, and just make sure that you're using some sort of data to help guide you, because right now we don't know quite what's going on. I know I certainly don't, and I don't think anybody really does. I've talked to medical professionals. You can see it in the news. You'll talk to medical professionals, and there are medical professionals on both sides of the coin there, who one will say one thing and one will say another. And so whatever side you choose to believe, follow the data and let that give you information to adapt as you move forward. So I know I've been saying this sort of in the background, but now I'm going to bring it to the foreground. Now more than ever, when the tide comes in, all ships rise. The tide is going out, and we need to find a way to turn the tide. We need to find a way to make sure that our industry continues to be safe, well-respected, and financially solvent. And the only way to do that is for all of us to pitch in and put our own, personal, desires aside. Not get rid of them, just set them to the side for the moment, and focus on making it a better industry. I think that is essential right now. Again, I could be wrong, but that's my opinion. That's the joy of this being my show. I can share with you my opinion. And, and if you find ways that this is completely wrong and completely disagree, please feel free to contact me. But again, question my ideas, my thoughts. Don't tear me apart. I've been in this industry way too long. So you may say, hey, you know what, Scott? I disagree with you, and I will totally respect you, and I will have a great conversation with you. But if you come at me and go, well, you're a moron, guess what? Done. Sorry. I'm too busy to have those arguments. I'm just not going to do it. So that's my rant. That's my rant on us. We all need to work together. And I know I've said it before, but I think now it's more important than ever. And I've given you some pretty specific ideas as to how you can make that translate between theory and practice. Help each other out. Be nice. Be nice to each other. And you don't have to be nice to each other next season, just this season. This is a tough one for us all. Don't kick somebody when they're down. So, let's see. I always like to end my show with a whole bunch of self-promotion, so, why would I ever change that now? The first thing I probably have to say, and this is me bragging because I'm excited, I have just received my IAPA certification. I'm now an IAPA certified attractions leader. I have my ICAL certification, so I'm very excited about that. It's taken many years to gather all of the experience needed to make that happen, and it is now official, so I can now put letters after my name. Woohoo! And so that's very cool. Also, there is a brand new podcast that just started called Green Tagged Theme Park in 30, and it's Philip Hernandez from Gantam Lighting and Seasonal Entertainment Source and myself getting together for 30 minutes. We cull through, sort through the top stories of the week. It is a weekly podcast, and we sort through the stories of the week. We set our timer at 30 minutes, and we talk through our opinions on a bunch of different things. And we don't always agree, which is great, because it makes it so that we can discuss things fully. Our listeners don't always agree with what we have to say, which is great. As I say, we don't have all the answers, but we certainly raise some of the right questions. So if you're interested, please check out Green Tagged Theme Park in 30. And you can find it right now on the Haunted Attraction Network. Eventually we'll be on a different platform, its own platform, but right now check that out. Also, if you want to know, other things about what's going on in my life, my career, whatever, please join my newsletter. I'm very excited. We're just about to send out the second version, and it basically has links to all the projects I'm working on, plus some things that I just think are cool. There is always members only content, and the very first newsletter came out with members only content that was recorded, downloadable, recorded voiceovers that you could use either in your queue, as your email outgoing message, and just sort of a basic safety Halloween PSA that anybody and everybody can use. So if you're a member, you got that, and hopefully somebody's using it. If not, you just listened to it and it went, oh, that's cool. But this newsletter has some exclusive content as well. It is kind of, I'll hint, it's some behind-the-scenes stuff that you might not get a chance to see. So that was kind of cool. And then I'm working on, like I said, a bunch of different haunted attractions this season, so hopefully those will all come to be. And we will see what happens about any of the upcoming live appearances I have. I don't want to promote any of them for fear that I will jinx myself. So this is a relatively short episode because you guys don't need to hear me rant anymore. Basically, be nice to each other. Let's get through this haunt season 2020 together and make certain that the haunted attraction industry continues to support itself and be the purveyor of terror that we all want it to be. This is Scott Swenson. Until next time, rest in peace.